Glenn Academy Red Terriers Coaches Show with head coach Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Jessup Furniture, Peachtree Pest Control, Golden Isles Pharmacy, Sea Palms Realty, I-95 Toyota, Golden Isles Collision, and by Cunningham Jewelers. And now, here is your host, Bob Black.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Glenn Academy Coaches Show with head coach Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I am Bob Black. This segment of the Red Terriers Coaches Show is sponsored by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Peachtree Pest Control, Golden Isles Pharmacy, Sea Palms Realty, Jessup Furniture, Golden Isles Collision, Cunningham Jewelers, and by I-95 Toyota. And now joining us is the head coach of the Glenn Academy Red Terriers, Rocky Hidalgo. Hey, coach, how you doing?
I'm good, Bob. I'm glad to be back.
Yes, it's good. Everybody's glad to be back and get all the darn virus stuff we had. Well, coach, I think you got to believe that, you know, even though the kind of a lopsided score at the end, you kind of hung in the game the whole way up until about the last 3 or 4 minutes and felt like you had a chance.
Yeah, you know, I'm encouraged by the way we played. Our kids played with a lot of toughness and a lot of grit. We lost a couple of offensive linemen in the game, and that really, you know.
Don't have those to lose.
No, we submarined our chances there when those guys went down. And we feel good moving forward about the guys getting them ready to play, but just kind of coming in there in the middle of the second quarter and third quarter, and we ended up having to move Clayton Ketchum to center, and it just kind of screwed up the whole rhythm of the offense. We kind of couldn't get anything going after that. And, you know, it just happens. But our kids hung tough. They played really, really hard. It was a physical football game. I think Camden had a lot to prove after they lost to Richmond Hill. I talked to Coach Spire. They really went and focused on being physical. They came off the ball, and our kids hung in there. And, you know, I think it's something we can build on.
Yeah, absolutely. Started the game out with Camden County did. Started out with a 62-yard touchdown pass. But it wasn't that our kid was out of position. It's just that their wide receivers was a little bigger and better and just kind of took the ball from him.
Yeah, he was, you know, honestly, we had really good coverage. The kid was about 6'3 or 6'4. And, you know, Snooty went up to play the ball. And probably if he goes up and goes to the basket and plays the hands, he probably knocks that ball away.
Bats it away.
Yeah, he went up for an interception and the ball was just a little high and kid plucked it out of the sky. It is what it is. I'm not going to fault the kid. He played really hard.
Yeah, no, he was definitely in position watching the film. And then once we get the ball back, you know, we have a couple of muffs, had a muff snap, and a few, you know, got blown up in the middle a couple of times by their man-child they had playing up there. I don't know, 56, I don't know his name. But
He's a Michael Morris. He's Godzilla in shoulder pads.
As you like to call him, he's a dude.
Yeah, he's offered by everybody in America.
Yeah.
He's offered as an offensive lineman, but he looked pretty good as a defensive lineman on Friday night.
Yeah, he came off the ball real well. Yeah.
And it was a tough spot for Jaquez to be in because that was his first start. He had missed the game versus McIntosh. So he runs out his first varsity start. He goes out there for his first snap. He's got, you know, parade All-American over trying to rip his face off. But
yeah,
he settled down after those first three plays and hung in there and gave us a chance to get in there and get some momentum going.
Yeah. Once everything settled down there, and their second possession, you know, they really didn't do a whole lot either. I mean, they had a muff snap. And, you know, I think once we got settled down, as you said, on both sides of the ball at that point, we're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, you know, I was pleased. We kind of hung in there, and they weren't able to really run the football on us. And we gave up, hell, probably 100 pounds a man up front. But our kids really hunkered down in there, and we played good run defense. They had four possessions inside the 5-yard line because of turnovers and things like that. We got to cut those things out. But, you know, it's like I said, it's something we can build on.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the Glenn Academy Coaches Show with head coach Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Media Sports Network. You know, coach, I was looking at the film. I didn't make the trip, but it looked like Miles Smith, your middle linebacker, number 44, stepped up on that second possession and kind of held them to a four and out, basically. I think they went through it for it on fourth down. And he seemed to be all over the field Friday night.
Yeah, you know, he played really well. And I could comment on a lot of those guys. I mean, Miles is a heck of a football player, and he's really come into his own You know, when he was coming up, people compared him to Hunter Hall, and that's a big comparison. Anybody knows Glen Academy football knows that's a huge comparison. And he's really taken upon himself. He's turning that caliber player. He's a heck of a high school football player. Yeah. But we had some other guys that stuck their nose in there. I can't talk enough about Josh Woodard. Josh is 5'7", 175 pounds, and hung in there again on the defensive line and hung in there with their offensive linemen. I think he had 4 tackles for losses. He was our defensive player of the game this week.
Yeah, he was all over the field. I looked at it. And while we're talking about the defensive linemen, it seems like you've got a 2-platoon combo going there with the first, I don't want to say first or second, but a group with Colin Maddox, DJ Clinch, and Tyshawn Thomas, who are all juniors. And then you got another group of Gage Roof and Jaden Turner and Josh Woodard, as you just mentioned. Are those situational substitutions? Or are you just getting fresh legs in, or what you're working with those groups?
Yeah, a little bit of both. And, you know, we feel, you know, Gage and Josh played a lot of football for us last year. So, you know, we know what we have in there with those guys. Jaden Turner's a kid who's got a lot of upside. He's a senior this year. He has. He's got a lot of, you know, what we call twitch. He can move around a little bit in there. And I like that group. And the other group is a bunch of juniors. And all those guys just need to play. I think those 4 guys who haven't played a bunch, they just need to get out and play games and get some experience. Friday night, man, they played really tough. You know, we'll use different guys situationally. Sometimes Gage will play defensive end for us. Sometimes he'll play nose guard. Sometimes Josh will play defensive end. Sometimes he'll play nose guard. And so we, you know, on third and long, we usually take Gage out and put a guy in there who can really get back to the quarterback. So it's kind of hot hand a little bit, matchups. You know, there's a lot of different reasons why you change those things around. But, you know, we feel like we have 6 good ones.
I would imagine you mentioned earlier with Josh Woodward's speed. I'd imagine it's tough for a center to snap the ball and then try to find Josh with the movement up front. To get some hands on him.
Yeah.
So, well, one of the things, Coach, in the first quarter, we need to talk about, and you've talked about it before, is T.J. Lewis is your senior quarterback. Beautiful pass at the 2-minute and 39-minute mark over the middle to score a touchdown. It hit Demian Hayes with a pretty pass over the middle, a 33-yard touchdown.
Yeah, you know, T.J. keeps getting better and better, and I like the makeup of our team, and I like. But, you know, the kids that we have out there, and I think TJ, the thing that he brings to the table is he's worked himself in a position where he can really throw the football. He throws a pretty ball. And he's not necessarily a finished product at quarterback, but he's a guy who's worked himself in a situation where he's put himself in the conversation as a college-level quarterback. And he can really spin it, and I think he's going to continue to improve. And I think that's going to be a big part of our offense going there. And I think when we throw the ball, we're going to hurt people when we throw them.
Yeah, I think while we're talking about TJ, mentioned the quarterback coach, Pete Irby, who spent a lot of time with TJ and got his footwork looking really good, and TJ standing in the pocket really well.
Yeah, it's not easy. People always think you just put a guy back there and he does some stuff. It's not that easy to play quarterback. It is the most difficult thing to do in sports. I know everybody talks about, you know, hitting a baseball is the toughest thing to do in sports. There's lots of guys, you know, out there and hit a baseball. There's in the NFL, there are like about 10 guys who are really proficient at playing quarterback on the entire planet. There are 10 great quarterbacks in the entire world. And it is the most difficult thing to do in sports to play quarterback at a high level. And whether it's at high school, college, middle school, your quarterback's got to be able to go out and make plays. TJ's a kid that can do it with his arm and his legs.
Okay, let's take a quick break. More to come on the Red Terror Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
Joint problems don't just cause pain. They can also cause you to miss out on the things that matter most. Luckily, there's Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery. Our team of board-certified orthopedic surgeons and physicians perform more than 2,000 joint procedures every year. We'll create a custom plan just for you using the latest treatments and technology, including Mako robotic arm-assisted surgery. Visit sghs.org/summit or call 912-466-7340 to schedule your appointment.
It's that time again. Time to support your Glen Academy Red Terriers. Peachtree Pest Control is a proud supporter of high school athletics in Glen County and a proud sponsor of the Glen Academy Red Terriers Show. And remember, we are here for all of your pest control needs, Check us out at PeachtreePest.com or give us a call at 855-3-PEACHTREE. And let's go, Terrors! The friendly staff at Golden Isles Pharmacy would love to be your local pharmacy. Conveniently located just down from the hospital at 3010 Altama, accepts most insurances, hassle-free transfers, and online transfers. Free same-day delivery to St. Simons in Brunswick, so experience the difference for yourself. GoldenIslesPharmacy.com, 912-266-8140. Golden Isles Pharmacy is a proud supporter of Glenn County Athletics. Let's go, Terrors!
All the best furniture brands at the best prices. Jessup Furniture, Ashley, Liberty, Hooker Furniture, Southern Motion, Coastal Living by Universal. Jessup Furniture has it all. Living room, dining room, home office, and even outdoor furniture. Best service, largest selection, and the absolute best prices in Southeast Georgia. Located on Scranton Road, 267-1897. Low prices, quality furniture, friendly staff. Jessup Furniture.
Welcome back to the Glenn Academy's Coaches Show with Head Coach Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I am Bob Black. This segment brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine, Orthopedic Surgery, Peachtree Pest Control, Cunningham Jewelers, and by Golden Isles Pharmacy. Coach, I got to mention a big play that we also had by number three, Caden Hutchinson, who runs a lot like an old number three we had back there a few years ago, but it looked like kind of a midline that busted loose. He broke a tackle about 3 yards into the backfield and went 96 yards for a touchdown and was kind of pulled away from people as he did. And that was a great run by Caden and a great cause to get him there.
Yeah, you know, Caden's tough, man. He's a tough nut. And
he runs mad.
He does. He's an angry runner. He is. And he's not real big. But it doesn't matter. I mean, he's and you know, the thing with him is, man, he can run. People don't underestimate. They underestimate how fast he is. He's really fast. And when he got out in front, you know, he got out there. He was did a good job. They weren't going to get him down. He was going to get that touchdown. That was a huge play for us.
Yeah. He if you're going to hit him, you're going to take a lick. Yep. You know, he's not going to take the lick. You're going to want to take the lick if you're going to try to tackle him. But coach, I saw something unusual. And I don't know if you saw it, but it was a punt late I guess it was the first quarter. It seemed to hit the ground. It bounced up. Our guy calls a fair catch. And it's kind of like did you see that?
Yeah.
I mean, what? Did everybody just kind of freeze because he called the fair catch?
They didn't blow the whistle. So once he calls fair catch, you can't run that. So Isaac's
even
ran
after it hits the ground.
Yeah, even after it hits the ground.
Okay.
He's not allowed to run it. I think, you know, sometimes the officials now, they train officials to let the play go dead on its own. And I don't like that because that's kind of a cascade effect from instant replay from college and high and in the NFL. And I prefer when these guys go out and just blow the whistle because, you know, I think I have seen plays that have gone too long where people have been injured and you know, the trajectory of a game has changed because of that. But I think that's what happened is that generally they try to let the play come to a conclusion before blowing a whistle. And I think that's what they were doing.
I got you. Yep. I got you. Well, at that point, we're up 14-7 and Camden County hits a late long pass with 1:15 to go in the half. And you go into the half tied 14-14. And like we mentioned before, I think you still really got to feel good about your chances with the kids and the way they're playing and hanging with Camden all the way.
Yeah, you know, I liked where we were. I felt when we went in at halftime, we were going to win the game. The couple of touchdowns we gave up in the first half, I felt like our kids would get in and be able to cover, and they weren't going to get two more of those. I felt good about where we were offensively. We were kind of moving the ball here or there a little bit. We had lost Jack Findig, but Kwame Rhodes had come in, and he was kind of settling down and playing some ball with us right there. I felt really, really good where we were. I felt like we'd have a chance to win that game.
Yeah, I would like to think so. And then we hold them to 3 points in the third quarter. You know, they scored 7 in the first, 7 in the second, and then come up and get third, 3 in the third. And that was really set up by a special teams mistake with a bad snap. late in the quarter, and you still held them, and then they got the 3 points on the board there.
Yeah.
To go up 17-14.
Yeah, you know, and you know, we'll get David Stanfill back, and he's our starting deep snapper. And Clayton Ketchum did a good job of that. He was playing both sides, kind of get dinged in the shoulder, so he's out there trying to deep snap with a bad shoulder after playing 100 snaps in the game. That's really tough to do. We'll get David back this week for Winder Barrow. You know, that was a ball that, you know, we probably Bennett got in a rush to kind of get out of there. He probably right. could have fielded it, but yeah, I think he, you know, just kind of under a little pressure right there. So hopefully we'll get all those things cleaned up this week.
You're listening to the Red Terror Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. You know, sticking with special teams a little bit, Coach, it's you know, it's kind of been a challenge all year so far. Is there – I know you're working on it, but, you know, the kickoff or pooch kicking, is there a kicker that can get it deep, or was that just a situational game thing that you had to throw in?
Well, we jumped off sides on that first
kickoff.
On that first kickoff, so it was going to be really tough for Cody to put in the end zone. So we pooched it the first time, and I liked the matchup when I saw. Honestly, usually when you align in a pooch, they adjust their return game and put them, you know, a better returner over there. They kind of kept the big tight end, big fullback in there, and so I like the idea of pooching it over to those guys, and so we felt pretty secure about that with the personnel that they were putting over there. You know, the rest of it is, you know, we get Jonathan Sasser back in a week. Jonathan, you know, we expected Jonathan to handle all the plays kicking duties. I think Cody's continues a young guy. He's only a sophomore, so he keeps getting better and better at kicking the ball. He's going to be able to put the ball in the end zone some this year, and then I think he's going to be a guy like Chase Gabriel over the next 2 years, and he's going to put it in the end zone all the time. Bennett's been really good punting the football. I think David Stanfield's one of the best deep snappers in America.
Yeah, he's worked hard at it. Didn't he go to a couple of camps over the summertime? And he's got a bullet going
he's,
back there. For
he's
sure.
one of the best in the country. In the sophomore class. So, you know, I think we'll be good at those things. We've got to work, field the punts. We muffed a punt, and that really wasn't happy about that.
Late in the game.
Yeah, right. But, you know, we got to be able to secure that ball. But other than that, you know, I think, again, it's things that we can fix.
You mentioned getting Jonathan Sasser back. He got a bad foot? What's he out for?
He broke a bone in his foot and had surgery on it. So I think he's back out of a boot. He started kicking this week. And I think next week we'll start kicking him a little bit. And hopefully by the time we go hit Coffee County, he'll be ready to kick some field goals.
Yeah, that'd be good. But, you know, we come out of the third quarter down 17-14, still pretty much into the game. About halfway through the fourth quarter, TJ throws a pick. That looked like it was going to be a pick six initially, pick six, but knock him out of the one, and now they're first and 10, the 1 yard line going in, which puts us down, and they would score two or three plays later, and puts it our next play, and puts us down 24-14, but still, you know, still in the game. It's still, you know, still anybody's game at this point.
Yeah, you know, and we had a mix up on protection. We turned the outside linebacker and the defensive end loose, and that was really probably a product of having some young guys who hadn't played a whole bunch in there on the offensive line. And that we had a touchdown. I mean, it was a touchdown.
We were
10 yards behind him, and TJ got hit when he threw the ball. It wasn't TJ's fault. He had two people. He booted out and had to get rid of the ball in a hurry, and guys hit him when he threw it. And I won't say, personally, I think that play should have come back because I felt like there was offensive or defensive pass interference. The safety came over and hit Snooty while the ball was still in the air, before he could make a play.
Yeah.
Defensive play.
Couldn't even make a defensive play. Yeah. I thought so too.
So for me, from my respect, then we flipped around and had a chance for a touchdown. And, you know, we got a no call. Yeah, we had a no call on a pass interference that was a big play, you know. And really, that was a 17-14 game. You know, if TJ doesn't get hit, you know, we're up 21-17 in that game. You know, so it is what it is. It's a big play game right now. A lot of teams and what they're doing on defense, that's the nature of the beast. It's a big play game. You got to go out and make big plays. Can't turn the ball over.
Okay, let's take our second break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Glenn Academy Coaches Show with Head Coach Rocky Adago on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
When playing on any field, you need a team of professionals behind you to assist with the win. Sea Palms Coastal Realty totally gets this and has the team to get it done. Whether you are buying, selling, or renting, Sea Palms Coastal Realty's team is undefeated. Stop by our St. Simons Island office located in Sea Palms Resort or call us 912 638-6660, and you can always find us online at cpalmscoastalrealty.com. Golden Isles Collision Center treats you like family because they are locally owned and operated. Free estimates, accepts all insurances, pickup and delivery options, new state-of-the-art facilities. Golden Isles Collision Center also guarantees their work for life. 301 Candler Drive off of Highway 82 next to J&J Tire, 912-263-4422. Golden Isles Collision Center, friendly, honest service. Despite of everything, the world keeps spinning. Weddings are still being planned, anniversaries are still coming up, babies are still being born, and Cunningham Jewelers is still here to help you. Whether it's taking care of your graduate this summer, a special gift for that special someone, finding mom the perfect gift, telling dad thank you for everything, Cunningham Jewelers has you covered no matter what and no matter your budget. CunninghamJewelers.com, also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. It's time to get yourself into the awesome new ride you deserve. The place to do that is I-95 Toyota. 2021 Camrys, Corollas, explore with a brand new RAV4, get rugged with a brand new Tundra, or take a look at I-95 Toyota's huge pre-owned inventory. I-95 Toyota is the home of the 20-year, 200,000-mile warranty, free car washes, and oil changes for life. I-95Toyota.com or 866-590-3461. And let's go, Terrors.
Welcome back to the Glenn Academy Red Terror Coaches Show with Head Coach Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Bob Black. This segment is brought to you by I-95 Toyota, Sea Palms Realty, Jessup Furniture, and by Golden Isles Collision. All right, Coach, we're midway through the fourth. We're down 24-14. Camden County has just scored and they kick off to us, and we fumble the kickoff and put us deep in the hole with a long way to go to try to tie the game. We were moving the ball okay and everything, and then TJ had the guys wide open over the middle, hits him in the hands, and it's dropped.
Yeah.
And that was probably a touchdown right there.
Yeah, you know, look, I'm not going to fault the kids, the players. I mean, we got to work on securing the kicks and the punts and all those things. I mean, those are things that we can do better. You know, I think we're practicing them. Obviously, this week's been funny because we've gotten so much rain, but we're just going to have to keep working on it and hope we make some hay with it and improve in those aspects before we hit the field versus Winder.
Okay. Yeah, well, we're going to put Camden County. We had another muff on our late in the game, which set up the score to be 33-14, and you know, at that point we're out of the game late. But you know, it was a good game by the Red Terriers, both defensively. Defensively, it seems like you've got the old traditional Glenn Academy defense to where you bend but you don't break. I mean, they made some big plays, and I know that's your coaching style. You know, they're going to have big plays. They're going to just live to see another down.
Yeah,
and that's basically what we did defensively.
I think our kids played fast, and it was probably the best defensive game we played. I mean, honestly, the level, the effort that we gave, the grit that we showed is probably the best one we played in about 3 years. I mean, I was really pleased with the kids, the way they went out about their business. And like I said, yeah, this is something we can build on. I can work with what we showed on Friday night. I can work with that.
Yeah, absolutely. The kids never quit. They kept playing. It looked like you got some good play out of your Vipers.
Yeah.
Two little runs that you got in there. One of them over a buck 60. You got Murat and Joseph Beckham.
Yeah, he's
both seniors.
He's 140 pounds soaking wet, and Murat's probably 165. And, you know, they're in there. They're playing against Michael Boris, who's, you know, 6'6", 320 pounds. The other guy on the other side is probably 6'5", 330. And those guys, you know, they did a great job. Every time they try to block them, they did exactly what they're coached to do.
Yep.
They went in there and saw that guy off at his thigh pad and, you know, upfield and forced the ball back inside. You have to play guys like that because they're not real big. So you got to be careful about having them go on and hit a big guy like that, try to take him on straight up. But man, they've done a great job, and Coach Harrison, who coaches him, has done a good job of coaching those kids. But you know, they're two good high school football players.
Yeah, they're epitome of a high school football player. All right, well, that's going to wrap up the Camden County game and putting that one to bed. Let's talk about, you mentioned a few minutes ago about the wet and the moisture. You know, that's definitely to the advantage of having this indoor practice facility that we got, where we can, obviously you can't work on special teams and things like that, but you can get in some inside work and some other work, and you know, having this facility certainly helps out with that practice during the rain.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a huge advantage for us. It's not, you know, a full indoor facility, but whoever designed this thing, I'm gonna pat myself on the shoulder. we got the most out of the county's money in the space that we had available. When they came in and said they were gonna renovate this and turn it into a football facility, they wanted to put all the offices in the gym and all that stuff. And I was like, man, I would rather y'all just leave this thing alone and give me the gym, and I'll see about raising the money to do it myself. And I'll give those guys credit at the county office. They sat down, they listened to me what I want, they made it happen within the budget. And it you know, it's a huge advantage on a wet, rainy day to be able to come in and get good teamwork inside and not have to go into a gym where you're worried about, you know, messing up the gym floor and all that stuff. Yeah. The kids can go in there full speed, and we can do a full live practice in there, and that's been a big advantage for us.
Yeah, this is the Glenn Academy Coaches Show with Rocky Hidalgo and the Bishop Media Sports Network. You mentioned renovating. I don't know if many people know, but this facility used to be the old Glenn Middle School gym when it was here before it got moved down on Highway 17. So they had to come in and do a, you know, renovation on it, and it works out really well. How many kids can you work out at one time in the weight facility?
I mean, conceivably, we've had as many as about 150 in there. And, you know, you have some guys on the turf, and you have guys in the – we have nine double-sided stations, and so you have got 18 bench press or squat stations plus 18 clean stations. That's 36 stations you can work, and we've got enough weight that we can work at each one of those without having to take weight off somebody else's bar. And then, so you figure four kids at each one of those stations, you're looking at, you know, 140, 150 kids could conceivably lift in there at one time.
That's phenomenal for a high school facility. There's no question about it. All right, let's look at Winding Barrel, all the way up near Athens. It's going to be a five-hour trip, having to take the Yellowbirds due to budget constraints or whatever.
COVID. We're calling them COVID buses.
COVID buses. Yeah. Luckily, I'll be riding in the pickup truck. Y'all have them Yellowbirds. But let's talk about Winding Barrel. First of all, let's talk about how this game come about. I think there's some COVID cancellations. You had we had some.
It was originally, we had a game scheduled, and I won't name the school who it was, but we had a game scheduled with them, and they crawfished on us. And we scheduled a game with another team, and that team crawfished on us right before Christmas, and we scheduled a game with a team out of South Carolina over Christmas, and they crawfished on us in late January. And I called Coach Dudley. Coach Dudley's the guy who hired me at Walton, you know, 25 years ago, to complain about how you can't trust coaches. They give you word about going to play a game, and then they go back and they keep looking for games, and they screw you like that. He had the same thing happen to him, and he was like, "You just want to play?" And I was like, sure. And it was easy because it was the end of January and I needed a game. He needed a game. And neither one of us, I didn't want to drive to Athens. He didn't want to come here, but just
we got to do rock, paper, scissors.
He had to have a home game. And I was like, well, I don't have any home games as it is anyway.
Why not?
So
travel?
We'll just go on the road, be road dogs.
Yeah, that is one thing I'm going to mention. We can be road dogs. I mean, we travel well. The kids travel well. It's just another game somewhere else. Let's go play.
It's a mentality, you know, and you know, but we've gone up to Atlanta and won big games versus really good football teams in Atlanta. And for me, I don't treat it any different. I mean, you get a mentality. You got to survive the bus ride, and it's no different. And so if we're mature, and sometimes it takes time. Teams have to mature over the course of a season. And this will be a good test for us, how we handle all that, handle the little bit of adversity, handle that trip. You know, we're going to have to find a place to pull over and pee somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. I don't know where that's going to be. But
that was Cochrane. It's usually a good stop.
I don't know where it is. Evidently, we're peeing in Cochrane. Look out, boys. I mean, it is what it is.
Well, we've stopped there a couple of times over the years. All right, quick look at Winding Barrel. I know we don't worry about Winding Barrel. We worry about Glenn Academy, but they got a couple of dudes defensively that plays with attitude. They got their defensive lineman that when he gets there, he's mad because he had to run or something. I don't know what he does. And they got a linebacker that covers the field well. Yeah. I was going to have to get a hat on those guys.
Yeah, look, it's a couple of safety and a corner is a really good player. I mean, they've got some good players. They're a physical football team. The right tackle also plays on the D-line. Number 54 is one of the best linemen I've seen in a long time. He comes off the ball, and he's got a bad attitude. He tries to bury people when he gets the chance. So we're going to have to do a great job on him. They run around well on the back end. They're physical up front. It's going to be a good test for us to block on the perimeter. That's one of the things we really got to improve. We've got to get the ball out in space to guys like Jaden Drayton. And so we got to block better out there. We didn't block very well Friday night. We got to do better with that stuff. And those guys are just learning how to do it. So hopefully they'll improve and that'll become a bigger, more part of a more important part of our offense.
Yeah, and Wyndham Barrow, actually, physically and stature-wise or whatever, they reminded a lot about us. You got a lot of good-looking kids, 6'1", 230, 240 range, and then you see a midget out there. They got one guy that it looked like he was 4'5", 115. I don't know, but the kid played. And it reminded me of Cameron Joseph, who just was sticking up in there with the best, biggest and best of them.
Yeah, sometimes those guys who aren't as – they don't look the part, they don't pass the eye test – they can be really good football players too. And we made a living with those guys here.
Yep.
So I don't really get hung up on how big a kid is. And, I prefer to see their performance. Their kids play really hard. I know Coach Dudley, he's going to have his team ready to play there. He's going for his 200th win. So he's going to be prepared. The Wyndham Barrow Bulldogs, they're going to be ready to play. The Glen Academy Red Terror is going to have to pull their weight and get up there and play good football. Yep. And we play well, we'll win.
I don't think you want to be that answer to that trivia question. Who did Ed Dudley get his 200th win over with y'all's relationship?
Yeah.
I know he was at Ware County. There was some banter going on between the two of you at that point. So.
Yeah, he's a good one. So I'm excited for him to get there in his career. I would prefer him not to get there against me.
Against you. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up. Coach, we appreciate your time. Any final words for the Red Terror Nation?
Well, just want to give a shout-out to the class of 1967 for coming up. They donated $1,000 to to our football program to help feed the kids. To Henshaw Companies, another company went out and donated some meals to our football program. That's a huge part, especially in COVID times. We're like everybody else, we're strapped trying to raise money. And so anybody in the community, whether they're business or individuals, if they might like to make a donation, go to redterrors.com and donate or join the Booster Club. We'd love to have you.
Perfect. Okay, let's wrap it up. Thanks for joining us here for the Glen Academy Coaches Show with Rocky Hidalgo.
I've been called.
You've been called worse?
Been called.
Today?
Worse. Yeah. By noon.
Before you even got here. Before you left the house. Coach Rocky Hidalgo on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Bob Black. Come get me, mother. I'm through.